Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The author of the book, Cyril's Choices, John Matteson, and we've asked him to chat to us and give us his thoughts on the U.S. elections. John, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning. Tired, but well. How are you?
Well, yeah, you see, it was your job to watch the debate, which was at an ungodly hour. I'm assuming that you did that.
Yes, exactly.
So what did you think?
Well, you know, going in, I had two questions. Would Trump correct from the mess he made last time, and be able to draw blood on Biden, on the allegations he's making about corruption? And the second question I had in mind was, does Biden hold it together? Because he's ahead in the polls. So his task really was to perform well enough that the boat wasn't rocked. And I thought largely both candidates achieved their aims. So it becomes very difficult. You know, I've followed the American electorate long enough to know that it's quite difficult to predict how they'll respond to something like this. The fact is that there is a very small group of undecided voters in the middle of America that both candidates are fighting for. And I think largely, you know, Trump... both of them said things that were misleading. As usual, Trump said more things that were misleading or outright false. But, you know, the people who support him follow the media that supports what Trump says as well and repeats things that aren't true. Mm. And Biden, the things that Biden says are largely trusted by, you know, he's criticized for some things on the general media, but by and large, you have these two very, very tight camps in America that are really strongly opposed to each other. So it's hard to see what really changes.
What's interesting to me is that if I was a Trump strategist, I would make the whole election about Biden. Because Trump's already in the position. He has his following. There are those that absolutely detest him, but there are those that swear by him. Biden's credibility, his mental agility, the corruption around allegations around his son, the fact that he's been in politics for so many years, all actually stands very much against him. My view, and I said on radio yesterday, was Trump blew an incredible opportunity to show vulnerability when he had COVID, and I think that will count against him. Did you think with all of that, do you think that Trump could pull this off again like he did the last time?
Well, look, going into this debate, I would have said no, although I have a caveat to that, because the polling now is different from 4 years ago. Biden looks stronger in all the polls than Hillary Clinton did last time. Trump looks weak, you know, in every poll. And I know people criticize the polls, and the polls were slightly wrong last time, but they weren't as wrong as people claimed. And there was a main problem with the polling type of underweight white non-college educated Americans. And most of the polls have corrected for that. So I don't think the polls are too far wrong. And as I say, even last time, they weren't as wrong as people said. I mean, you know, Trump won by 77,000 votes in three states. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan last time. So, I mean, the truth is, you know, if any one factor had been slightly different, he would have lost, and then we'd all be analyzing everything in a very different way. So I think it's still very hard to say how this election is going to come out. But the fact is that I thought Trump, he corrected in a very significant way. He wasn't abusive and so on. His advisors had been strongly urging him not to attack the moderator, and he didn't. He suddenly told us he was doing a very good job. And he waited his turn largely. And I mean, the fact is, Trump is a clever communicator. I mean, I think he's poor at a lot of other things, but he's a clever communicator, and that counts. And as you say, it's also true that Biden Biden is old. Biden is not as good as he was, you know, in 2008 and 2012 when he had vice presidential debates. He performed extremely well. He's extremely experienced and he knows what he's doing, but he is getting on in years and he's definitely less articulate than he used to be.
What's also interesting to me is I keep getting the sense that Biden is just a holding pattern for the Democratic Party. I'm still surprised that this is the guy that eventually came through to represent this party. Is this really the best that they could do?
Well, do you think Trump is?
No, I definitely don't. I most definitely don't. Absolutely not. I mean, if we look at it that way, absolutely, this is the best that America can do is horrific. But to some extent, I understand it, because why would anybody in their right mind put themselves through this? You know, we saw with Oprah Winfrey, the minute there was a hint of her seeking this nomination, she was decimated in public, and she immediately withdrew, because it was almost like she said, what do I need this for? I'm a successful person in my own right. I've achieved a tremendous amount. I do a lot of good. Why do I need to be decimated in public?
Well, you know, even Hillary Clinton, who I think was a very poor candidate, but when she retired as Secretary of State, she was the most popular woman in America. And then by the time she went through the mill of a candidacy, and as I say, I think she was a poor candidate. You know, of course, she was tarred in all sorts of ways. So that's true. But I mean, the result is, and it's really unfortunate that you look at America today and you see these two candidates, and you're reminded of the old days of the Soviet Union when it was run by a gerontocracy. Mm. And you saw these old guys coming out every year to the Lenin tomb to take the salute.
So true. Absolutely.
I know it's very, very disappointing, because the world needs really smart and insightful leadership now, because things have changed. Things are never going to go back to the way they were before the world order from World War II over the last, you know, that lasted 70 years or so, is really running out, and you need a lot of creative, thoughtful, global statesmanship to navigate it well and not to fall into these wars. You know, I was in Afghanistan with the United Nations for quite a long time, well over a year. And I mean, I came to the and I was in a high position. I came to conclude that the Western position, the American position, British, was really making a mess. They had no proper plans. I mean, I went in as a supporter of the Afghan war. I didn't support the Iraq war, but I understood the reasons for the Afghan war. By the time I'd finished, I thought they made such a mess of it, they shouldn't have started. They didn't do any of the right things. They didn't think things through. And that's why they've got us into these various wars that are going nowhere, achieving nothing. And you really need
we all need a bit of Jacinda Ardern, don't we?
Exactly, yes. Well, you know, you raising that raises another interesting question, which is, if Biden wins, the group, you know, he'll owe various people, he'll certainly owe African Americans who saved his campaign when it was dying, but the people he'll most owe a debt to are women. Because I've looked at dozens of polls on gender voting habits in this election, and Trump among men gets a variation between about 40 and maybe 52% of men voters, but women voters are overwhelmingly backing Biden. The gender gap is anywhere between 10 and about 28% more women supporting Biden than men.
Yeah, I think what was also fascinating is that the damage done at his last campaign, and it was just, I think it was about a month or two before, where he obviously said, I can't repeat some of what he said on radio, but his very, very graphic and
crude sexism. Crude. Yes.
Absolutely. That has continued to plague him, hasn't it? It certainly impacts my view on him. And I've got maybe a bit of a nuanced view. I don't believe today world leaders, should be perfect or ever were perfect people. I just think we see them for everything. And we've got to be able to look at their actions and say, well, what has Trump done well? And I do think that there are things that he's done particularly well. His Middle East piece, I believe, is something that he should be recognized for. But it doesn't mean that as a person I can relate to him. I find him a very, very unpleasant person, and I certainly wouldn't want to have him over for Friday night dinner. But he's worked very hard to get away from that, but hasn't really achieved it, has he?
Well, you see, I go to what he continues to do. I mean, you know, that one statement was one thing, but in some ways, I think women are more disturbed by things he's been doing recently. You know, women have a lot of reasons not to feel safe under Trump. I mean, for instance, you know, there's this woman governor in Michigan who's very popular in Michigan, and the FBI uncovered this plot by a group of Trump supporters to kidnap and even execute her. And Trump then went on a spree of attacking the governor. Not the kidnappers. Wow. And, you know, and that was in the context of him undermining the rule of law in other ways, you know, calling on the Attorney General to arrest or start charges against numerous of his political opponents. I mean, that violates, you know, fundamental tenet of American democracy. And I suspect that whole feeling of not being safe is probably influencing women now as much as anything else.
Absolutely. Very, very interesting indeed. Unfortunately, we are out of time. It is 7:32, but I have no doubt we're going to be chatting to you again if you are available closer to the time as we started to see things developing. John Matteson, thank you, author and journalist. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.